Because that's the bottom line.
Happy New Year from all of us here at the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast. Week 18 is gone. Week 18 is done. So is week 17. 16 through 14. 13 through 1. Done. Dead Air Dennis along with my buddy, Beer Man.
Hey, buddies.
And my other buddy in Madison County, Brad Taylor. Welcome in, buddy.
Stop. What's your fascination with the word buddy? I'm cashing ticks in 26. Let's get underway. It's a new year. Enough with the silliness from last year. Let's go to 2026 and let's make some money this year.
Did we not make money last year?
We did better last year than we did in 2024. I know that.
Let's check the recap for week 18 with Beer Man.
Recap. The recap already?
Recap.
I got a full recap, not just week 18. I did a regular season recap.
Wow. Also.
You are a man of diligence. I like it.
But, like I said, I hate week 18. But Dennis enjoyed week 18. You finished 10-5-1.
Yep.
Brad, you finished 8-7-1. Oh, sorry. Both of you finished at 1-2 with your best bets before you get too cocky.
Oh.
And then I finished at 7-8-1, 1-1-1 on my best bets. So there's your week 18 breakdown. Do you want the full season here?
Let's go with the full season.
Full season
All
recap.
Right, first and foremost, the games that we agreed on throughout the season.
Oh.
If you're a listener, it's a 50-50 shot. We were 27-29-1.
Wow.
Brad, I would ask you this. When gambling, what is the magic number of bets that you need to hit in order to break even?
52.38%.
Brad, do you want to take a guess with your little experiment of taking every single underdog, where you finished?
52.38%.
52.6%.
Ha ha! Wiener!
139, 125, and 7.
Suck all that.
I was also above 500. I finished at 134, 130, and 7. And then Dennis finished at 123, 141, and 7. Now, just to show you the difference of what we do on this compared to ESPN's Pigskin Pick'em, I finished at 150 and 122, and I was in the top 100 in the last week. As a matter of fact, after the first game of week 18, I was number 42 in the country. I only won one more game in week 18.
God, you had a terrible week 18.
Finished at 974.
You fell from number 91 to 900.
Yeah.
Wow.
In week 18. Now, our best bets of the year, Dead Air Dennis finished 24-29-1. I finished 27-26-1. And Brad Taylor, great job, 32-21-1.
That's a good job, Brad.
Oh, why, thank you. I thank you for the pat on the back for once. I appreciate that very much. But as we all know,
for once.
Yes.
For once.
For once in your life.
He's got to get it in there. He's got to get it in there. Go ahead.
Me?
Jerk.
I've got to get it in there? Me? That's what she said. Anyway, the point is, thank you very much for your support. Back to you.
There was one more stat, and I'm trying to pull it up really, really fast.
Like really, really fast?
I'm trying.
How about some elevator?
No, here it is. Here it is. Oh. Found it. Sorry. On the website, 1 Million Podcasts, the Bottom Line Sports Rocker podcast is currently 27th in the country.
Wow.
27th.
In terms of...
I don't know where we're ranked.
Oh. Well, I don't know what that means, but...
I don't know how to... Yeah, put that in.
Quantify that.
How do you put that into perspective?
I don't know.
God only knows, but...
But
you know.
We have just crawled up a little bit each week. I think we started the season at like 68th, and the next thing you know, we're like 51st, and then, you know, and here we are at 27th. So whoever the powers that be on 1 Million Podcasts, they seem to like what we're doing.
We appreciate you, 1 Million Podcasts.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
And as
Thank you and come again.
As I look at their website, I click on the Contact Us and About section of their podcast, Their president and owner, Alan Cutler.
I don't believe.
Maybe.
Well, that's high praise coming from a guy who's 98% with his picks every
week. That's true, man. That's true. I wish I had been there for that. Boy, you talk about getting that yacht that we always have been trying to get. But, yeah, you know, anyway.
Well, guys, I apologize for having such a terrible, lackluster, feckless year, man. It was awful. I don't have anything other than that to say, and just to give my heartfelt, sincere apology for a bad season of picks. And I think I know what I need to do differently for next year, so I'll be back. Don't discount me.
Well, in your defense, you finished at the top of the heap before while we're doing this. Brad, and this is not a knock, I think this is the first time you finished at the top of the heap, and I have finished at the top of the heap. So I should have.
That's a hell of a heap.
Yeah, I should have done our overall numbers to see if we were above 50%. We got to be somewhere right there in that general area.
I need to take the best bets of the week a little more seriously. The Bottom Line Sports Rocker podcast is brought to you by Circa Sports Kentucky, Brad.
CircaSports.com, or just go download Circa Sports Kentucky on your smartphone right now. The highest limits, the lowest holds, the best customer service. We'll be out there, about 2.5 months now. And, looking forward to that. But make sure to get your action down at Circa Sports Kentucky. I go down to the Mint now every weekend, and it is a great sight, and it's great. That sports book is as beautiful as it gets. It is just like the one in Vegas, except just a little bit smaller. But, yeah, if you're looking to get your action down and get your sharp point spreads for squares like us, that's the place to go. CircaSports.com for more info. Got to be 18 years old, kids. Sorry. And sorry you had to go back to school yesterday. Also, USB... If you have a problem gambling, call 1-800-426-2537. Back to you.
And a great place to get out of town if you're here in Central Kentucky. You know, you head down to Bowling Green and you spend a weekend at the Mint and you watch some playoff football this weekend and some college playoff football. I mean, life can be a lot better than it is just sitting on your couch watching whatever, Third Rock from the Sun or That 70s Show. I actually kind of like That 70s Show. I've only seen it twice.
The whole season or just 2 episodes?
No, just 2 episodes. The only reason I did that was because of the dark-haired girl. What's her name?
Mila Kunis.
Oh, boy, she's pretty. She's a beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. And she speaks on behalf of Kentucky very highly, which I appreciate.
She was a rep for Jim Beam.
I saw that.
For a little while,
yeah. She did a commercial for Jim Beam. So, fellas, suddenly we're faced with postseason football. How do we approach this, guys? Do we talk about the big games that are going to lead to the biggest of all? It's a pretty exciting time, right?
Yeah, outside of the fact that from the day that we are recording this podcast, we are 1 month and 1 day away from the season being completely over.
Over. Wow.
Yeah.
Yippee!
13 games left.
I was very happy that the regular season ended because now all my regular season props will finally be cashed. So that was why I was happy the season ended. All those under on receiving yards props and win totals and things like that.
How did you do?
I don't really know.
Okay.
Did all right.
You haven't kept up with them at all?
Oh, I've kept up with them. I just don't want to, you know.
I was surprised to really see Baltimore fire Harbaugh. I know people were talking about it. I kept telling myself, there is no way that happens. I kind of felt the same way about Stefanski. He's a good coach. I don't know what the problem. But, you know, that's the M.O. in Cleveland, is to fire your quarterback, fire your coach, start all over again every season.
With all the turmoil that has gone on in Cleveland for the last 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4?
Well, 30? Stefanski was in the playoffs with Baker Mayfield. They had, I think, a 12-5 season.
And then they kicked him out.
And they were doing okay. But with everything that had kind of gone on in the last year or two, especially with Deshaun Watson, Stefanski should have had a pass. But here's what I like for him. He's going to get another head coaching position pretty quickly.
Yep.
And it's going to be a better situation no matter what. With John Harbaugh, I look at the situation like the Chicago Bears when they let Lovie Smith go, to where it's just like, careful what you wish for. I realize that that is a quality organization, but you could end up with a lot of Matt Eberfluses and coaches like that that can't seem to find their way to the win column. And even though he didn't get them to the promised land, you know, this year, it's still questionable. What I find funny is Green Bay's coach still considered on the hot seat. Mike Tomlin still considered on the hot seat, even though they have made the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see if any other coaches are let go as they get ousted from the playoffs.
Fellas, you ready for the games?
I'm ready for the games, but I have one question for a Bengals fan. How come John Harbaugh could get fired and Zach Taylor cannot get fired?
We answered this question last week. Jim Brown. Mike Brown does not fire his head coaches before their contracts are up, or at least not within the final season. I think he's done that once or twice.
Because he has faith in his guys?
Would be this.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brad. Sorry.
No, I'm being silly. Go ahead.
My question would be this. Of the seven coaching positions that are currently available, what do you feel like is the best scenario for John Harbaugh? Obviously, Baltimore can't be one, so that leaves six positions available.
Giants.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think
okay.
Atlanta is the right landing spot for him.
Not sure. Well, their quarterback. What you do is it's the quarterback situations. And that's what I'm kind of looking at, because you got a nice young quarterback of the Giants. And do you have a nice quarterback situation with Atlanta? I'm not so sure. So that's the only thing I'm looking at when it comes to that.
I think if you're in Atlanta, you have less scrutiny. I mean, when was the last time that you know, New York in general was not a dumpster fire? And I mean, you go back to Eli Manning, and even there, as they made the playoffs, they usually went in as like a six seed. I think Atlanta with Arthur Blank down there, I think there's less scrutiny. I think Arthur can pay a coach probably what he deserves. And with a name like John Harbaugh, I think he would get a little bit more patient. I think you got Joe Shane as the GM with the Giants, and they haven't let him go. So, you know, how long before they get to the point where they're like, we have to get rid of the GM. I think it's at least a little bit more stable situation. You just have to find the quarterback, and maybe he can work with Penix, because if you remember when Lamar Jackson came into the league, a lot of people thought he should have been a tight end or a running back, and he's turned out to be a perennial MVP candidate, and that's under the tutelage of John Harbaugh.
All right, well, let's don't get too deep in the weeds on who we think is going to be where. It's all subjective, and it's going to lead us nowhere, and people are here for the picks, so let's get to the games.
By the way,
let's get to the games!
Brad, I will say that Joe Flacco spoke very highly in an interview just the other day about his time with the Bengals and Coach Zach Taylor. So, you know, I don't know what that means. I think he's not a terrible coach, but he's not certainly not a great one. You know, the Bengals are going to have him for at least another year,
because they get to save money. And my favorite Eli Manning stat, before we get into the games, he started 234 games in his NFL career. He won 117. He lost 117. So for a guy that won two Super Bowls, it was tough sledding, especially toward the end. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the games. And before we get started, a couple of numbers about wild card round football and what usually does well in the last 20 years or so. Underdogs in this round, 51, 44, and 3 against the spread. That's 53.7%. However, if you look at the totals in all these games, 59 and 39 to the under, that's 60.2%. But if you look at games played outdoors, take the dome games out of these, the under in this round, exactly two-thirds the time, 50 up, 25 down, 66.7%. Just in, all these games are played outdoors. Let's go to the games. And we'll start on Saturday afternoon. Game number one, Matthew Stafford and the Rams. 10.5-point favorites over the 8-9 Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. Biggest favorite, road favorite in NFL history in a playoff game. Total 46.5.
To me, this is one of those where it's like, what does Vegas know? It's like they're goading you to take the Carolina Panthers. If history serves me right, it wasn't that long ago that the Los Angeles Rams lost at home to the Carolina Panthers. So why in the world are they an 11-point underdog? I just think Vegas is trying to goad you into taking the Panthers here, and I'm going to do it. Give me Carolina in this game. Dennis?
No. Wrong again, beer man. Listen, this will be a great revenge spot for the Rams. The Rams were flat that day. They came out. Well, they traveled from the West Coast to the East Coast. It was a 1 o'clock game. As I recall, the weather wasn't that great either, but Los Angeles had just come off of a blowout win. And Bryce Young threw, I think, 3 bombs that scored, for touchdowns. It's not going to happen again, I can tell you that. In fact, Brad, I liked your stat earlier. I might take the under in all of these games, all 6 of these games this weekend. I like the Rams to just put it to them. I say the Rams. Let's go on. Brad, what you got? I know where you're going with this, Brad. Are you going to take underdogs all the time?
Why you got to ruin everything? Can't you just let me have my fun? God.
You're not ruining it. You get to have your fun, but I mean, it's just kind of funny that there's so much, analysis that goes into your.
Oh,
going
yeah.
By the Circus Sports book, though, there is a pick 'em game. That's going to throw Brad away.
Anyway, we look at the consensus line, not just one sports book. I know the game you're talking about. Anyway. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers getting the points. It's against my religion to lay double digits in the playoffs. I'm sorry. Decent team in Carolina. Not great. But like you said, beer man, somebody's got to know something. How is the Rams a double-digit favorite in a playoff game like this on the road? It's very understandable why you're saying that. I agree with what you said, Dennis. I'm going under at every single game. I can promise you that right now. This is one of them that I really like to go under. We could be having some wind issues. 10 miles an hour winds, it looks like, the windy under. So I'll take the under. That's my favorite bet of the game for this one. But I am taking dog and under here. Let's go to Saturday night. And it's something.
This one, Brad, I wanted to say this game looks like a 28-10 game to me. It really does.
Here's the other thing, and I just pulled this up from week 13. The Rams were a 10.5-point favorite against Carolina. Now there's more on the line, and they're still a 10.5-point favorite. Sorry.
And that might
every expert you talk to about this game says the Rams are going to blow them out. And my contrarian nature is to say, they're setting us up for something. But I'm going with them on this one. I just don't see Carolina. I mean, I know they're at home. I know their defense is improving. I just think the Rams are going to put it to them. Go ahead, Brad.
The worst thing that could have happened, maybe possibly, is that Carolina beat them earlier this year. That's going to sit with the Rams. And that's, if you're taking the Rams, that's the thing you've got to rely on. Hey, it's a little bit of revenge, and that's what you're looking for a lot of times. Let's go to Saturday night. Beer man, I should just let you set it up. Why don't you just go ahead and set this game up? Packers, 1.5-point favorites over the Bears here. Jordan Love over Caleb Williams. Total 45.5. Beer man, you've been waiting for this for a long time. It's all yours.
So here's what's funny about this game. As a Bears fan, I don't expect to win the Super Bowl this year. But had we played the Rams in this week, San Francisco, even Seattle, I think we could have lost this game and been like, it's a successful season. The problem is, if you go to the playoffs and you play the Packers and you lose to the Packers in the playoffs, the season is a complete bust. The other two games literally came down to the final possession. I get the feeling that this one's going to come down to the final possession again. I think for the most part, it is a coin flip game. I like Ben Johnson more than I like whatever the hell his name is in Green Bay. I can't think of it right now.
Matt LaFleur.
They had said, you know, he should be on the hot seat for the simple fact of the last 3 years, they've been into the playoffs as a seventh seed. Had the playoffs not expanded, he wouldn't have made the playoffs for four straight years, and his job should have been on the line. Jordan Love coming off a concussion. I'm reading that Malik Willis is not even available to be his backup, but I haven't got 100% confirmation on that. I think the thing that almost hurt the Bears in the last game was they weren't coached for Malik Willis, and that threw them off. I don't think they're going into this game that uneducated. But, yeah, playoff game in Chicago. They played hard last time and didn't get it done. I think Chicago comes out ready to go. It's going to be an under. They all have been well under 45. But, yeah, I'm going to take Chicago. There's no way I can take the Packers.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, here you go.
Oh.
Merry Christmas. The other half is not going to be here for another 2 weeks, I think.
I got me a Chicago Bears shirt from Dead Air Dennis.
That's hey, just in time for the podcast.
I love it, buddies.
Not in time for Christmas, but that's life in the world of Dead Air Dennis.
Thank you, dude.
You're welcome. This game comes down to just a couple of things, in my opinion, because I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched up and certainly bears out in the line. This comes down to the Chicago Bears running backs. And the Packers being without Micah Parsons. The season was going so well defensively for the Packers. They were on top of the game, but the last few weeks they have struggled to stop the run. They have struggled in defensively, and they haven't recovered from the loss of Micah Parsons. And I think that gives Chicago an edge because you got DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga, both in the top 5 yards before contact. I think Chicago takes this game, Brad.
It's amazing how last year in this division, Detroit finished first and Chicago finished last. And this year, Chicago finished first and Detroit finished last. It's amazing how that worked out. But the last 32 times these teams have gotten together, the Packers have won 27 of those 32 times. Does that mean they're going to win here? Not necessarily. But it's a different day, and all week I've seen, literally, by the day, one team will be favored by a point, and the next day, the other team will be favored. It's alternated each day so far this week, from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back and forth. Right now, I'll take the Bears getting the point and a half. Heck, this might switch in the next 2 hours because this line has gone back and forth. But I feel great about the under in this game, the windy under, the playoff under. I love the under in this one, under 45 and a half. But if you're asking me to take a side here, yeah, I'll take the points, but it's tough to go against Green Bay here in this one, even though the Packers were 3-12 against the spread after they started 2-0 against the spread. Not exactly good. Packers didn't play anybody last week. I'll take the Bears getting the points, but yeah, the under is the play for me in this game. Let's go to the next.
The percentage of the money is on Chicago. Is that correct, Brad?
Right now, 68% of the tickets, 61% of the money is on the Chicago Bears. Packers okay. Opened a point and a half favorite. They're still a point and a half favorite. Total has not moved either, 45 and a half.
Packers have won 21 of the last 25 meetings, thanks in part to your friend, Aaron Rodgers.
Daddy.
Brad, if the line moves in the other direction, are you taking Green Bay?
For our purposes, yes.
Just curious.
But the under is the play here. The under is absolutely the play here.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to Sunday. The Buffalo Bills finally have a wide open role to the Super Bowl. No Mahomes, no Joe Burrow, no Lamar Jackson. Just Josh Allen. They're a point and a half favorite right now over Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Total 51 and a half.
Go ahead, Dennis.
I think this line is coming down, too.
I've got Pick'em on the Circa Sportsbook for this game.
The Circa does have it at 0. Some places have it at 1. The consensus line, though, among all the legal sportsbooks here in Kentucky is 1.5 with a little bit of juice to Jacksonville here. We're just averaging out all the books here in Kentucky, and that's how we look at the consensus lines as opposed to just one certain book.
Well, So this one's tough because these two teams just I don't have a whole lot to go on with either one of them, really. Josh Allen kind of finished the year with a foot injury, had the week off last week, so obviously, you know, he's had some rest going for him, and you know, I feel like the window is closing on the Buffalo Bills, and I really, honestly, truly would love to see them make the Super Bowl this year. Just because I want it to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen, though. I really feel like Jacksonville might be the play here. Jacksonville with a 7-2 record at home this season. Buffalo 5-3 on the road. My lean is to the Jaguars, and I'll let Beer Man pick it up from there, and I might come back with a little bit more analysis here. But I'm kind of just flipping through some notes here. I you know, the presence of Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers in the wide receiver room on this team has been pretty impressive.
One thing that I find comical about the Florida football team, so you're talking Tampa Bay, Miami, and Jacksonville. In the last 3 years, they have all finished at 35-33. That being said, I'm stunned Jacksonville has been this good. Liam Cohen has done an excellent job. And if you look at Jacksonville throughout the season, you can see where Trevor Lawrence has got better. You can see where Travis Etienne has got better. If you remember, they kind of went all in on Travis Hunter in the draft. He played 7 games and was out for the rest of the season. So that has been a non-factor. I can only imagine this team being a little bit better. I'm kind of with you where it was like Buffalo had everything paved in their favor with Kansas City not being in, with Baltimore not being in, with Cincinnati not being in. And yet Buffalo also not that great this year. I'm going to go with Jacksonville in this game. I think the home field advantage is just going to make a world of difference. Josh Allen can only be Superman so much. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
Brad, when we flip it over to you, maybe you can tell us what the weather's going to be like, because I am curious to see how a team from a cold environment is going to fare in a warmer environment down in Jacksonville this weekend. And I will also add that, you know, Buffalo's run offense has been, you know, amazing. I think James Cook might have been the top three running back this season. And James Cook just looks amazing. Had a wonderful season. And Josh Allen on, you know, behind center, you know. And I think the Jacksonville Jags have a little bit of a problem. I think they're in the lower rung of teams against a mobile quarterback. So I don't know if you can expound on that or not, Brad, but we'll send it over to you now.
Weather is not going to be a big of issue in this game. It's going to be in some others. The wind is not going to be howling, but it's going to be a little bit. This is going to be probably the nicest of the games. Jaguars have covered 8 games in a row. They've won 8 games in a row. And the Jaguars, they are a very good team. Yes, Buffalo won big last week against the Jets, but how do you count that? You go looking at experience of Buffalo over the hot streak of Jacksonville. Give me the hot streak. Give me the dog. Give me Jacksonville getting the 1.5 down in Florida. This one, love the under here, 51.5 your total. We see 60% of the money on the over. And we see 60% of the money on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's why we've seen this line drop down from 1.5 here. So, yeah, I'm taking the dog here, and I'm going to go under the total, Sharpie McSharpison style. Next game, it is the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. 4.5-point favorites now over the Niners and Brock Purdy. Total 44.5.
Philadelphia Eagles this year, I kind of look at the same way that I looked at Kansas City the last couple of years. They were just kind of ho-humming through the regular season. I do think they have another gear, and I think finally in the playoffs we're going to see that. I love the secondary of the Philadelphia Eagles against San Francisco. They're so banged up, so I don't think Philadelphia is going to struggle to score. I do think San Francisco is going to struggle a little bit, plus traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast. The number is big, and that makes me nervous, but I'm going to take the home team, Philadelphia Eagles. Go ahead, Dennis.
Philadelphia 5-3 at home. San Francisco 7-2 on the road. San Francisco's been good. We know all about their soft schedule this year. I'm not really baking that into my analysis here. I just think Philadelphia, being the home team, having the experience in the postseason, I know San Francisco's got some too. Brock Purdy's been great. He's been efficient. Christian McCaffrey, comeback player of the year. I get it. It's been a great season for them, but I'm taking Philadelphia. These two teams have played 37 times through the years. San Francisco holds the edge there too, 21-15 with one tie sewn into it. I'm just taking what I think is the better team with an outstanding defense, and we've seen San Francisco's leaky defense in these last few weeks.
The only problem I have with this, I'm taking the Niners and the points, obviously, is that the line opened 3.5. It's up to 4.5 for the Eagles. Yet if you look at the betting splits, 77% of the tickets, 79% of the money is on the Niners. That is a classic reverse line move. If you were to take a favorite, this might be the one to take. I will take the Niners, but the reverse line move totally on the Eagles here. Keep that in mind. Love the under here. This under's dropped from 46.5 to 44.5. Let's go to the next game, Sunday Night Football. Drake May and the Patriots. The easiest schedule this century, according to some analytics. 3.5-point favorites over the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Total 46.
Chargers 5-3 on the road. New England 6-3 at home. I think this is a tough game to pick. I'm taking New England, taking the home team. I don't really have a whole lot of analysis, obviously, on this game. I just think New England is the better team, and I think they've got a better defense than most people think they do. I know the Chargers have been strong. They've had a great season, an amazing season. I think it ends at Foxborough.
I look at, you know, Jim Harbaugh has been a great coach. It's usually in his second season where he kind of pieces it together. I wouldn't say the Chargers had a great season, but they had a good season. Mike Vrabel has been successful in the regular season down there in Tennessee, but he has struggled a little bit in the playoffs. I do think there's going to be one game in this postseason, at least one, that it is a field goal as time expires. And if you're going to say 3.5 is the number, I think this is the game that comes down to the final seconds. New England may win, but I think that this one is really, really close. I'm going to take the points and the Los Angeles Chargers.
I will also take the points of the Chargers here, but definitely like the under this one. Not just because of the trend we mentioned earlier, but the little bit of weather on a Sunday night. So, yeah, I want to take the Chargers and the points here. Like we said, there's a time when this strength of schedule has to come back and bite the Patriots, and this might be it. We'll take the Chargers here getting the points. And Monday Night Football. The Houston Texans are now 3-point road favorites in Pittsburgh against Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers. Total 39.5.
You know, I've certainly watched my share of the quote-unquote experts talk about going into the playoffs, and there were so many people that were saying Houston's defense is unreal. You do not want to play Houston in the playoffs. And then you watch them again a few days later, and they're like, Mike Tomlin as an underdog is incredible, and so many of them have taken the Steelers. I'm going with Houston in this game. I think that defense is real. I'm not saying Pittsburgh's season was a sham, but I just feel like they overperformed the entire season. Houston, on the other hand, again, started slow, geared up throughout the year, couldn't catch Jacksonville because they got just as hot. But like you said earlier, give me the hot team over the team that kind of wish their way into the playoffs. I will take Houston to cover the 3 and get the victory in Pittsburgh. Dennis?
Mike Tomlin is a dog. Boy, you could just go on and on for days about it, couldn't you? I'm still taking Houston in this game. I just think they're the better team. And I think Pittsburgh came off of a very emotional, hard-played game against the Ravens on Sunday night? Monday night?
Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah. These two teams have only played each other 8 times through the years. Pittsburgh has won 5 of them. Houston only 3 times. In fact, the last time they played, 4 of those games have been played in Pittsburgh. Houston's only won 1 of those games. But I think they reversed the trend here. Pittsburgh is 6-3 at home. Houston 5-3 on the road. There's trends there, I guess you could say. But And I love Tomlin as a dog, just like everybody else, and you'll hear it a million times this week, but I just think Houston is the real deal. That defense, and C.J. Stroud wasn't himself earlier in the season. Then he got injured. He was out for a few games. When he came back, ever since he's come back, he's been a different player. And they've got that Jaden Higgins guy in the wide receiving core now. He has lit up defenses as a secret weapon. And, I mean, the defense with Will Anderson and Derek Stingley and Danielle Hunter. I mean, come on, man. That might be the best defense in the NFL. Give me the Houston Texans.
Everything you said there was absolutely correct. I'm taking the Steelers, getting the 3 points because of the Tomlin rule. Yes, as a dog, he's almost unbeatable. With all the craziness this year, he still had a winning record against the spread as an underdog. Death, taxes, and Tomlin winning as a dog against the spread. I'll take the Steelers and the under here. There you have it, folks. It is wild card week in the NFL. Okay, guys, here we go. Your best bets this week in the NFL.
Are we doing three? Let me ask that question.
You're the one in charge of this, Beer Man. Whatever you call for, you can do.
Because best bets would, if we do three, that would be half the field.
We get it.
Sticking with three.
What do you want to do?
Let's stick with three. God. all right, I'm going to take Carolina. That's just too many points against the Rams. I'm going to take the Chargers. Just like the matchup there. And, you know what? I love them. Give me the Bears.
Oh.
I'm taking the Rams. Sorry to Riverside you there, Beer Man. I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles, and I am taking the Houston Texans.
Steelers, the Tomlin rule. Jaguars. Give me the Jags in that spot. And, as crazy as this sounds, give me Carolina, the double-digit dog. And every under you could think of. All six games go under the total. There you have it, folks. Our Mac Daddy Stogies from a handicapping perspective. Final thoughts, guys.
Six incredible games. All very unique, not just because they're playoff games, but unique matchups. Maybe with the exception of Green Bay and Chicago. So, you know, they'll be fun games to watch. And, Brad, I'm with you. Just these totals just seem a little inflated, and that might be a postseason thing, and it's also obviously a general gambler's thing. But, yeah, I'm with you on the unders in these games. We hit three of them, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, there was one prognosticator who made the comment, okay, if you had to take one team to absolutely win, you'd probably take the Rams, and rightfully so, over Carolina. But if every underdog won every game, you would be like, yeah, that makes complete sense. I think the balance in this playoff is insane. Who's the favorite to win the Super Bowl? Yeah, it's Seattle, but can you see Green Bay winning it? Can you see the Rams or Houston winning it? Absolutely.
Can you see Carolina winning it? No.
That's probably the longest shot on the board.
Can you see Pittsburgh winning it?
With Aaron Rodgers, I mean, sort of, kind of.
That defense, that secondary is trash, dude.
Probably not, but I mean.
These are all teams that can air the ball out.
I think they all have their faults, but I think there's a reason you could look at almost every team and be like, yes, they could win. They could win the Super Bowl. So that's kind of the way that I look at it. The NFL wanted parity. They may not get it through the regular season, but we definitely have it in the playoffs.
Brad, final thoughts?
I'm going to ask you guys a question. Your Super Bowl matchup, and we will look at the odds in the desert for that exact matchup. Don't have to get, crazy. Just the matchup. Name the finalists. Team A versus Team B in the Super Bowl, and we'll go over the odds and see if you would bet them.
I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams. I said them at the beginning of the season. I'm sticking with them in the NFC. I'm torn between Jacksonville and Denver. You got to go through Denver, so I'll probably take the Broncos as my AFC team.
The Rams and Broncos, currently the second choice on the board at 9-1. Dennis, do you have a pick here?
Just for fun, I'm going to say
the very unsexy matchup of the Seattle Seahawks and the Houston Texans.
Seattle Seahawks and Houston Texans. The seventh choice on the board, 15-1. So not I was expecting a little worse odds, but yeah, that's the seventh choice on the board there. Seahawks and Texans at 15-1. Those are two pretty good ones, guys. Good job.
You?
Me? Oh, you know where I'm going. Rams, Jaguars. Absolutely. Let's go Rams and Jaguars. That's
that would be fun. I'd like to see that.
20-1. That's on down the line there. That's the 10th biggest dog on the board. Rams, Jags. That would be my pizza money prospect there for the exacta for who makes the Super Bowl. Anything else, guys?
Officially week 19 in the NFL. Super playoff weekend. This has been the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast for Beer Man. My name is Dead Air Dennis in Lexington, Kentucky at Classic Rock 92.1. Brad, tell everybody bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for joining us. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.